Hello, this is the Radio. Hello, welcome to Commission Radio. I'm LaCora Bowen, and we're going to be talking about the power of the resurrection today. And I know we're getting close to the seasons where everyone wants to talk about this, but this is a subject that is just important whatever season we're in, because what I'm going to show you today is going to be so powerful in terms of where we are in Christendom. So bear with me, and we're just going to go through quite a few scriptures, and then we're going to lay a foundation a little bit later on. But where I want to start today is Philippians 3:10 through 21. And if you've been on the program before, you know I like the King James Version because it gives me something to ponder, something to go to the Holy Spirit on my own and get some clarification on. Some of the translations are so clear, so to speak, that you don't necessarily do that as much, or at least I find myself not doing that as much. So from the King James, we're going to start with Philippians 3:10 and go through 21. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He's saying I'm trying to figure out, you know, whether I can see myself as Christ Jesus sees me, in other words. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and some of us really need to do that, and I'm working on that myself, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before us. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's not an easy thing to make a decision in this world to follow after Christ. You know, we have to press, you know, behind all of our history, all of our drama, all of our, you know, our mama them stuff. And, you know, we have to just press into it. Because there's a prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything, ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even unto us, unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as we have us for an example, so that they can have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross. And we see some people in the church that are really enemies of the cross, but, you know, well, that's another story altogether. We'll do that some other time. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, whose mind is on earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself, that he can subdue all things to himself. You know, this is, like I said, this is something that we usually discuss in great detail around Easter, because we start thinking about the resurrection of Christ during that time frame. But we need to just think about it, period. We need to think about our salvation, our peace, our love, our joy, our long-suffering, our mildness, our meekness, temperance, faith comes from the Spirit of God. And we have nothing in us good without Jesus. Nothing in us good without Jesus. Without Jesus, we are a bag full of bones waiting to die. But with Jesus, we are wineskins full of new wine unto eternal life in him. When we use his name, we speak forth every book of the Bible. Every book of the Bible, when we use his name. In John, we see that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus lived. Jesus died a physical death, but lives forevermore. I went up against a number of years ago, I guess about 12 years ago, I went up against four large law firms representing a church in a case, and was working about 18-hour days or somewhere like that. When it was over, I was exhausted and finally bedridden for almost 8 months. And one early morning, somewhere, I don't know, between 2, 3, 4, somewhere like that, I felt a sense of evil in my room that was so palpable that I immediately looked toward it. It frightened me, so I jumped out of my bed and began to quote Galatians 20:20. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. And I'm still looking at this thing, but, you know, I was still weak, so I sat back on the bed and I began to draw my feet up, watching what I now know was Satan. I didn't know that then, but it was a frightening looking thing. It was a small thing, though. That sort of scared me with, you know, red sockets and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, I'm looking at this thing, and I realized at that moment, had I died that evening, I was headed for hell. But the fact that I use Jesus, who is the Word of God, the living God, as a sword and shield against him, I didn't perish that night. However, if I didn't know any word, I could have just cried out Jesus. His name accesses all the entire book of the Bible. There's no sweeter name that I know. That's what the old saints used to say, and now I know what they're talking about. No more faithful friends has there ever been. Now, I was going to hell because I was bitter, because when you know, to be honest with you, when I called the ministry for someone to come and pray for me, no one did. And it was like everybody said, everyone just stayed away from me like I had some leprous disease or something. Even a friend that I used to spend, you know, nights with when they were going through their divorce and they were just really, you know, I thought suicidal, and would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and drive over if I needed to. I called her one night and just told her I just didn't feel good and I wanted to know whether she would come over and sit with me for a while. And the next day, I hadn't seen her, so the next day I didn't remember seeing her at least. So the next day I called and asked whether she came over, and I didn't open the door or didn't let her in or what have you. And she told me, quite frankly, she forgot. Now, that was the same friend that when she was going through her divorce, even if I had to go to court the next morning, I would take all of my things over to her house and stay with her because I felt like she might have been suicidal. I didn't know I was becoming bitter, but I had become bitter, and that's the reason why that evening, if Jesus, who is my Lord and Savior, had not shown up, guess what? I wouldn't still be here, because at the time I looked at him and sat on my bed, I smelt this bread smell, like I said, this bread of life smell. But when I sat on my bed, I felt peace like you would never understand, and I felt impressions going over my hands and laying beside me. And I laid down and went to sleep. Now, somebody asked me, why didn't you ask him something? Why didn't you tell him something? I mean, that wasn't the time to talk, because as I just told you, if he had not come, I was going to hell. I wasn't thinking about that type of stuff right then. So, but that seed of bitterness got in there. And there's a lot of us, we've gone through a lot of tragedies and stuff like that. And we don't know that something like that, even though, you know, you might have justification in your mind for it, but just think about Jesus. He took all of those stripes for us. He could have justification for not wanting to to have done that so that we could be saved. But that smell, that bread smell, changed that whole situation for me. Because my kinsman redeemer, and he is your kinsman redeemer, was there to protect me. So what could I have said that would have made sense in light of what I just saw? Okay, nothing. So I said nothing. Like I said, I laid down, I went to sleep. Now, I lost everything after that. He didn't, you know, it wasn't one of those types of protection. I lost all of that after that. I lost my bar license. I would say I lost my friends also, but, you know, that was not the case because apparently I didn't. You can't lose friends. You know, I don't think you can. But I realized that I had no friends. Let me put it that way. Except a sister who worked for me as an associate, who was a year behind me in law school. So that dear sister was very, very dear. And now some of you have had your experiences with Jesus, and you've had your experience when you were at a point where you were like I was. And I'm sure that you called upon the Lord because you're still here. Now, in order to come out of these situations of having tasted and see that the Lord is good, we have to believe that he is good and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In Luke 13:24, it tells us to strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, they just will not enter in. They're going to seek to, but they shall not be able. What or who is the straight gate? Again, is Jesus, who is synonymous with the Word of God. In this generation, we want to dictate what is acceptable to God. The Word of God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall we also reap, we're told in Galatians 6:7. Now, I was on the brink when this happened and realized, like Simon Peter, I had to answer Jesus that I had no place else to go, that he alone had the keys of life. Mind you that after that, Simon Peter made a proclamation. After Simon Peter had made that proclamation, he denied Jesus 3 times. And we need to be mindful of that. It confirms to me, and it should confirm to you, that without Jesus, we can't promise anything. We can have good intentions. If the Lord wills, we can. Now, Peter's spirit had a wonderful revelation, but his physical body and soul was not prepared to walk it out. Now, we've heard people say they are generals in God's army, even if there be such in the kingdom of God. It's arrogance for you to think that you have the right to make that proclamation. It's arrogance for you to make that proclamation, because humility is a virtue. Arrogance is a sin. Humility is a virtue. Arrogance is a sin. Amen? And when I thought about that, you know, that early morning, when I hear people say stuff like that, what comes to my mind is that, Jesus, I volunteer to clean outhouses in heaven if you just let me in. I will clean outhouses, wash feet, and sweep the streets of glory if you let me in, and I would dry them with all of my degrees. If my hair was longer, I'd dry them with my hair. Because reality is that hell is real, Satan is real, more importantly, God is real, Jesus is real, and he is coming back soon. Now, John, go with me to the book of John. Let's see where I want to go, 6:53 to 58. 6:53 to 58. I'm not at my regular place, so I'm having to fumble around a little bit. John 6:53 to 58. Okay, let's see where we are here. Okay. You know, arrogance is one thing, but if you can't bag it up, then that's a problem. The only person that can bag up that type of arrogance is God, and God told us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. All I want, if I get in, I'll let God raise me to a higher level. But I believe Jesus' blood has paved my way to get in, so I'm going to stand on that in the name of Jesus. Now, 63 starts that it is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh, profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And then he goes on to say that from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay? Now, Peter said that, but again, Peter was the one denied him. Okay? So again, arrogance is one thing. Humility is another. False humility is just as bad as arrogance. But arrogance is not a virtue in Christianity. Now, to say the Jews were confused about eating his flesh and drinking his blood is an understatement. They were wondering, as Jews, how could he ask them to defile themselves by eating his flesh and drink his blood? They were thinking carnally. And some of us, likewise, have great experience in that. They forgot what Jesus said as recorded in John 6, 53 and 58. Jesus is the word of God that became flesh. We eat his flesh and drink his blood when we study, apply, and speak his word. Stand on his word. If we preach and do not share the word, we entertain. However, if we share the word of God, which is Jesus, lives are changed, households are saved, children become believers in Christ, and nations are changed as well. The power of the resurrection is so potent that the Jews tried to hide it, tried to scare it out of the believers, and when that didn't work, some of them were killed. All the apostles except John. Sometimes we see Jesus as just a biblical figure, but Jesus is mentioned in both Jewish and Roman history, where they detail the trial of Jesus, the march to Golgotha, the crucifixion, and his last words. Jesus as a historical figure is written about more than anyone in history. And as sure as he lived and died, he will return in a twinkling of an eye for some of those, for those of us who believe. If you are 70, 80, 90, or 100, there is a good chance that you will see the return of Yahshua HaMashiach, our Lord and Savior and King Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. So what should we be doing? In Revelation 22:7, it says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book, the Bible. That means all the words, not just revelations, because the word was not divided as it is now. And since we are not perfect, when we mess up and we repent quickly, right? However, let's strive to walk like Jesus walked, which means to press, to be holy like Jesus. If he didn't resurrect, we would not be saved, delivered, or set free. If Jesus was still in the grave, there would be no redemption for us. There would be no soundness, safety, or freedom for us. No life, but only spiritual death for eternity. If Jesus was not risen, we were still spiritually dead. However, Jesus arose from the dead. How do I know? There were witnesses. There were witnesses to the event, those who saw him alive thereafter. In Matthew 28:1, Mary and Mary Magdalene saw his empty tomb at the end of the Sabbath. They saw him whose countenance was like lightning, the angel of the Lord who rolled back the stone. And when the Marys went in, Jesus' body was not there. The keepers saw the angels and shook. for fear. The angel told them to fear not. Jesus had arisen. Matthew 28:9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet, Oh, and they worshiped him. He came back. He had physical flesh. They held him by the feet. They saw Jesus in the flesh, not in the spirit, although it would have been good to see him either way. Okay? Now, Matthew 28:16-20, the 11 disciples saw him. Mark 16:1-7, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, saw him. Mark 9:1-10, Mary Magdalene saw him. Mark 9:14, he appeared to the 11 in the upper room. The crucifixion was a horrible thing. The Romans knew how to make death as painful as possible. For centuries, the Jews have been hated by many for orchestrating the crucifixion, not knowing that it was the will of God because of the sin of Adam that sidetracked the perfect will of God for humanity. God was not caught off guard. He knew Adam would sin and created in Jesus the perfect sacrifice for sin. If the Jews had not orchestrated the crucifixion of Jesus, none of us would have been saved. Not the Jews who will be coming into the house of God soon. Not the Gentiles, not the Greeks, not our mama them or anybody else. Somebody say, thank God for the Jewish nation who bore the brunt of God's wrath for us so that we could receive our kinsman redeemer. Jesus lived, Jesus died. And he rose from the grave, and he's returning soon. Somebody asked, how do you know that he's coming soon? In our lifetime, in some of our lifetimes. You know what? It really doesn't matter when he comes, when you think about it. We are told to seek him early while he might be found in Proverbs 8:17. Whenever he comes, we need to be ready. No man knows the day or hour, so you're not going to be able to wait and look up and say, oh, I can repent now. You won't have that time. You won't have that luxury. Matthew 24 tells us to learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and put it forth leaves, you know that the summer is nigh or near. So likewise, when you see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. Know not the angels in heaven, but the Father only. So no man or angels in heaven know when, but we have a parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and begins to put forth leaves, we know that the time is near. The fig tree began to put forth leaves again in 1947, but let's look at a little history. In 1 Kings 4:25, and Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine, under his fig tree. Micah 4:4, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts have spoken it. Hosea 9:10, when I found Israel, it was like finding grapes in the desert. When I saw your ancestors, it was like seeing early fruit on the fig tree. You see that symbolization, Israel and the fig tree. The word Israel from Abraham is from Abraham's grandson, Israel. The kingdom was divided into two sections, Israel in the north and Judah in the south. The Babylonians conquered Jerusalem in 568 BC and destroyed the first temple. The second temple replaced it in 516 BC. Israel was destroyed by the Assyrians in 722 BC. For centuries, Israel was conquered by the Romans, Greeks, Turks, Crusaders, Arabs, Egyptians, Fatimids, the Seljuks, the Islamists, the Mamluks, and so on. From 1517 to 1917, Israel and most of the Middle East was ruled by the Ottoman Empire. After World War I, under the Balfour Declaration, Great Britain took over Israel, Palestine, and Jordan. However, in 1947, Israel, the fig tree, became a state again and began to blossom as a fig tree. So that generation alive at that time will not pass away until the things in Matthew 24 began to happen. Well, what generation? Psalms 90:10 says the days of your years are 70, and if by reason of strength 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it will soon cut off, and we fly away. 80 equals 20 years, so 70 is 70 years, and 80 is 80 years. Now, if you subtract 1947 from 2020 equals 73 years, so we're past 70 right now, right? So if you 80 years, you subtract 80 from 2027, guess what? Okay? Hmm. 80 years is 2027. Well, 80 years from 2020, really. 1947 and subtracting 80 from that would equal 2027. So now Jesus could come back anytime he wants to. God can delay if he wants to. If we prayed, he would, if there was a good, godly, biblical reason. But anywhere between now and 2027, God would be within his word. Now, I don't know whether that's supposed to be our calendar or the Jewish calendar, so there's some room for discrepancy there, but it gives you a window of how close this thing could possibly be, right? However, that again, that's good information, but what good does that do if we're called right now? Do you really want to play Russian roulette with eternity? Do you want to try to wait up to close to one of these days and get saved? Because no man knows the day or hour that he may be called. Okay? No man knows that. Now, both soul and body will suffer in hell, we're told in Matthew 10:28, which is a real place. Hell is a real place. Isaiah 5:14, we're told that hell has enlarged itself. I bet most of that enlargement has occurred over the last 100 years. Now, we have secular Christians now who don't love what God loves and hate what God hates. We can't buy our way into heaven. We can't cry our way into heaven. But we can pray our way in by Jesus' name, by accepting him. So what we have just said is this. We need to take part in the sufferings of the resurrection of Christ. There is nothing good in us without the blood of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for any of those who have not yet saved, Lord God. Let them repent of their sins right now and ask Jesus to come into your life and to save you right now. In the name of Jesus. We'll have to finish this the next time. I thank you for being with us, and God bless you. And this has been Minister Bowen with Commission Crusade Church.